bringing you the real in real estate and real estate valuation professions in the only way he knows how. You are listening to the Contributory Value Podcast with your host, Mark Skap Skapanitz.
And welcome back, everybody, to a new episode of the Contributory Value Podcast. As always, my name is Mark Skapanitz, and I am your host for each and every episode that we do. And guess what, people? We are doing a new one today, and I have an awesome guest on that I think you're going to enjoy this episode. He does bring a lot of value to the appraiser profession and to other professions as well. Him and I kind of go a little ways back a little bit. We've been talking about a lot of stuff. He covered my lawsuit with Coaster very well, by the way. I was very impressed with his writing skills. So I think I've already given you kind of a hint on who I'm bringing on here. But also, this is our second attempt at doing this episode here, this podcast. We actually did one at the appraisal summit, and lo and behold, because I just didn't know what I was really doing, I had the wrong cords plugged in and we could not hear anything that he was saying. So here we are again, a couple months later, and we are going to get into this and get into this episode. So without further ado, my guest today is Mr. Isaac Peck from OREP Insurance and Working RE Magazine. How you doing today, Isaac?
I'm doing great, Mark. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely. You know, like I said earlier, we attempted this once at the appraisal summit, and I failed miserably, and I apologize for that. And I know it's taken us a little time to get back into this, but the good thing is there's lots more to talk about, and we're going to try and cover it quickly here today in this episode, because I know that Isaac's a busy man. He's got some things he's got to go take care of, but we're going to get into some of these things right now. So do me a quick favor, Isaac. Just give everybody out there a little background on yourself, how you got with OREP, where you started. Just something quick so they kind of understand who they're dealing with here.
Yeah, so I've been serving appraisers for the majority of my professional life. I'm in my 12th year at Working RE Magazine and OREP Insurance. I'm the publisher of Working RE and also the president of OREP Insurance. And OREP is one of the largest providers of appraiser E&O in the United States, trusted by over 10,000 appraisers across the country.
I am definitely a member of OREP. I've used them for many years. I know that other people out there, like Dustin Harris, I believe he's with you as well, OREP. You do sponsor my appraisal groups as well, which is pretty good. So we definitely like to get the word out there about you and your company. You do a lot of really good things. And for those out there that don't know, the Working RE Magazine, you can get it online or you can get it sent to you in your mail. And there's a pretty cool article coming out in this new episode. And that's only because I was part of it. So I want to thank you for spreading the word to get me involved with that.
That's right. Our January issue is just mailed, so appraisers should be getting it in their mailboxes. And the cover story is Surviving the Slowdown. And we got some great quotes from you and other appraisers that are doing private work and, you know, that are thriving, you know, despite the difficult environment, right?
Yeah, no, it was actually a really good article because you had Ryan Lundquist talk about some stuff there. He does a pretty good job at getting that private stuff. You had Blaine Fayen, you know, who we all know, and he is the same way. He's actually one of the ones that taught me how to go after the private work. So it was really interesting to see and read that and then see the thought process between myself, Blaine, and Ryan. It kind of all like added up and was very equal in how we approach things. So I'm hoping that people out there will read that article and maybe start to take the initiative to actually try and get that private work out there, which is what's great about Working RE is you put out a lot of good articles on a lot of different topics out there. And I think you also have a private investigator RE magazine or something.
Yeah. We also publish the most widely read magazine for home inspectors in the United States. And we have a magazine called Working PI. That's the most widely read magazine for private investigators in the United States. And so we really love bringing, you know, original journalism and news to niche professions You know, not a lot of people are really putting in the time to do investigative journalism for appraisers, right? And so we think it's a really important service to provide to real estate appraisers. And, you know, we've been doing it for 21 years. So Working RE has, you know, has been the most widely read magazine for appraisers, you know, for decades.
Yeah, that's one of the things I do like about your magazine too, is that you not only include other appraisers and have them write stuff for you, in whatever, classification or whatever story they want to write, but you also do your own. And that's where you got your start. If I'm not mistaken, you did tell me in Vegas, you got your start working with OREP by working with Working RE and writing articles for them. Correct.
Yeah, exactly. I was the assistant editor in the beginning. I wrote a few articles, and my boss David Bronner, he saw some potential in me, and he trained me to sniff out news and kind of bring original stories to the space. And it's been incredibly fulfilling work on my part.
That's great. And you now jumped from being that assistant or that director or whatever it was, that position, to now you are the sole owner of OREP.
That's right. So my old boss, David Bronner, who served appraisers for over 25 years, he retired a year and a half ago. And I was lucky enough to take the torch. You know, he passed the torch to me, and I take the mantle with a lot of gratitude. It's really great to be in this space for going on 12 years and be able to help appraisers and write about issues that are important to the profession. And, you know, on the insurance side, to be able to provide, you know, one of the best insurance products to appraisers, hands down, and give them tools and resources to defend themselves when people, you know, start complaining and filing complaints and threatening lawsuits and those kinds of things. It's a real privilege for me to be able to help appraisers.
And we appreciate that very much. So, you were just saying how, you transitioned into this, you now own it and you write these articles. Let me get into this really new article you wrote here. I think we definitely want to discuss this. You actually put it out today, and it was about, the very tender issue of appraisal bias within the profession. We all, not all of us, but I know many of us out there watched that CFPB hearing yesterday with the ASC, where they were talking about the issues of appraisal bias with the AI. There was a sociologist on there. They had some other, a mortgage banker associate on there as well, along with some other people telling their stories. But what was surprising after watching that and listening to that, which we can get into at another time, because there's just so much to unravel, that it's only being, in my opinion, told on one side and the other side's not being told. However, today you published an article that actually unraveled some of that other side of things. And if you want, just give a quick overview of what that article was about for everybody out there. I think it's something that everybody should definitely read. I think it's been posted a couple times in a different groups already, so you're definitely getting a lot of reading material out there. So just give us a little bit of a synopsis of what you found and how you went about it and the conclusions that you've kind of come up with.
Yeah. So the anyone who's interested in the story, just go to workingre.com and you should see it right there on the homepage. But the NCRC is a nonprofit, non-governmental organization, and they did a mystery shopper experiment where the product being mystery shopped was an appraisal. And so they had, you know, they hired appraisers to do private appraisals, you know, whether it was for divorce or some other lending purpose. And then they had some appraisers be greeted by a Black homeowner and some appraisers be greeted by a white homeowner. And then they compared the appraisal values between an extremely small sample size. So they only ordered 12 appraisals. you know, testing some appraisers against a white homeowner and testing some against a black homeowner. And they had each appraiser in their experiment do two appraisals, one with a black homeowner and then one with a white homeowner on a different property. And the conclusions that they drew were that, you know, appraisers are racially biased. The title of the report says, you know, appraiser racial bias undermines black wealth. And, you know, the most glaring examples that they call out are two examples where the appraiser, you know, overvalued or he came in above his peers would be a more correct way to say that he his value was above his peers when he appraised a white home, and his value was to say 10% below his peers when he appraised a property, and he was greeted by a black homeowner. So he was about 10% off in each direction. And they cited that as, you know, the most glaring examples of racial bias in their experiment. And this mystery shopping experiment proves that appraisers are racially biased, and it, you know, the appraisers undermine black wealth. And, you know, one of the big piece of news here is that the two appraisals that they cite as being the most glaring examples were performed by one appraiser. So it was one guy that did both appraisals that they find so objectionable. But to top it all off, this one guy is actually black. So the appraiser that did the appraisals that they thought were so very racially biased and anti-black is actually a black appraiser. And I'm not sure if they, you know, just didn't look into that at all before they published their results, but they actually turned around and filed a HUD discrimination complaint against this black appraiser, claiming that he discriminates against black people, that he's racist. And, you know, there are some other things that we could talk about with respect to their report, but I think that it calls into question very much the credibility of their you know, quote unquote mystery shopping experiment and the conclusions of their report. And it's when I first heard about this, it definitely left a bad taste in my mouth in terms of kind of disingenuous kind of manipulation of data and filtering statistics to prove your point. And, you know, it was actually brought to me by another appraiser who didn't want to kind of come forward and speak about this publicly for fear of backlash or retribution. And, you know, we made the decision to take on the story. And, you know, obviously I wrote it under my name publicly to tell the truth about what happened here.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, I was actually following some of that when it actually was first published out there, the study that they did. And I know, I think they are in Alabama right now. They're looking to do it in some other areas. You know, but the questions I had when I read that whole article that they wrote, there was some information that was really lacking to me that I think they, you know, probably should have published, or I don't know, maybe they didn't. But my questions to would be to them is, one, how did you go about finding the appraisers? So I know they said they took some from, they called some AMCs and placed orders. Well, I mean, if they're not lenders, how were they placing these orders? What were they placing them for? What did they go under? You know, were they going under a bank or something? Who was involved in all that? Then I noticed that they went out onto Google My Business or Google, and they researched appraisers out there as well and selected them from that source. But my question is what were the experience levels of the appraisers? Where were they from? Where did they actually locate it? If you hired, if you went through the AMC, what's the process that the AMC took to actually assign the order to an appraiser? Or was it predetermined? Hey, we want an appraiser from this area, or was it bid out to a bunch of appraisers and somebody accepted it much lower and has less experience? You know, to me, they didn't really explain the expertise, the knowledge, the, you know, the requirements or qualifications of all these appraisers, which I think is very important, because if you're actually hiring somebody and you're looking on Google, I know most consumers are going to look and read the reviews and what they want the best, and they're going to pay for the best. You know, I do a lot of my work that way. With the AMC appraisers, obviously, if they're getting bid out, well, you may not be getting the actual most qualified, experienced appraiser to do that appraisal assignment. So I think they actually, they should actually somehow publish how they went about it and how they
said. I watched the two people in leadership at the NCRC. They held a webinar recently, and I listened into it. And the chief legal officer at the NCRC is talking about their methodology, and they actually think their methodology is so good that they're offering it up to other fair housing organizations and encouraging other people to run these kind of, you know, mystery shopping experiments. We need to test appraisers to prove that there's racial bias in the profession. And so they're so proud of their methodology. They're offering it up to other fair housing organizations and encouraging, you know, further testing of appraisers. But one of the things that this guy said was, you know, the random sampling of appraisers, right? To go through and pick every nth appraiser of a list in Baltimore or in Maryland. And I'm inclined to believe that that's what they did in terms of how they selected the appraiser, because I don't think that they would have included this black appraiser if they had actually thoughtfully selected, you know, that they just picked some people at random. And unfortunately for them, right, the most glaring examples of racism that they have out of this was actually completed by a black appraiser. And I'm not even sure they figured that out yet, right? That they actually filed a HUD discrimination complaint against this guy saying he's a racist, he's anti-black, and yet he's a black appraiser. And so I'm more inclined to think, yeah, they selected it randomly and then they did no research at all in terms of who these appraisers are, just assuming that they're white people, and then, you know, report the guy to HUD. It's really incredible.
Yeah. And I think that it just begs the question. I mean, like, just the way you kind of said it is how they're picking them. I think a lot of people don't have the knowledge or know-how to know how, with the AMCs, how they work when it comes to lenders and choosing appraisers. And I think that a lot of people may, you know, jump the gun and say, oh, well, you know, the appraiser was biased or the appraiser was racist or whatever. But I don't know if anybody's actually doing their background to actually see and check, you know, who was, what their expertise is. Who they were in the area? Are they newer? Have they been established for many years in the area? Now, you know, it should matter. Maybe it shouldn't matter. But I do believe that, you know, with the way the system works, again, you know, you see AMCs out there that just bid out orders. They're collecting $700 from that homeowner, and then they bid it out and find somebody that's going to do it for $300, you know, and who knows what, you know, what type of quality you're going to get from that. It's totally different than having a homeowner call you directly from Google, reading your reviews and saying, hey, you know, you seem to be an expert in the area. You seem to have great reviews. We definitely want to work with you, and you explain stuff to them in the process. So I just think that there's a lot of information that's not being put out there in all of this. And with this NCRC thing, is, again, what were the qualifications and where did you come up with finding these appraisers? But my biggest question is how were they ordering these appraisals through appraisal management companies if they're not a lender or you know, a bank or something of that nature, or one of their clients already? Are they just calling them up? I mean, who knows? Is there anything being talked about in the background? You know, who knows, you know, on how they did it? That's something I would like to know.
Yeah. And he actually, on this webinar that the NCRC did, you know, he makes it very clear that they don't want to share that publicly because they're not done testing appraisers. And so if you live in the South, which is kind of their next target, you know, they were broadcasting for Mobile, Alabama, but Louisiana, South Carolina, North Carolina, Mississippi, those are all states that they're turning to and you know, for all we know, maybe conducting testing in very shortly.
Sure. It could be here in Atlanta. I know they were actually talking about that as well. So, you know, with this type of testing and with this going on, I mean, do you, as a insurer, you know, do you have any, you know, thoughts or any ideas or anything you want to put out there to any of the appraisers that are under OREP or even maybe not, on how to protect themselves a little bit, maybe, you know, what they can do, or they just have to, they just do the appraisal and just, you know, go from there. You know, I don't know how, you know, what you could do to, you know, you don't want to turn down work. You don't want to, you know, just walk away from things if something, well, you could, if things smell fishy or something. But is there anything that you could suggest to appraisers to maybe help protect themselves a little bit more? Or if they get wind of something, do they need to like contact you quickly?
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, secret shopping experiments run against appraisers are going to be a relatively rare thing. But definitely if you suspect that you're part of some kind of secret shopping experiment run by a radical left organization, I would withdraw from the assignment. But more generally, I mean, I think there are a number of, you know, words that appraisers need to be careful about not, you know, not having in their reports, even things as vanilla as, you know, this is superior neighborhood or these are superior comps or inferior. And there, you know, there's a long list of words that I don't even have memorized in terms of what you need to be careful about in including in your reports, never mentioning race or demographics, and all of the, you know, protected type of classifications. And then, you know, I always tell people kind of being as nice and respectful as possible. I mean, we insure a lot of appraisers, so we do see a lot of, you know, state board complaints and HUD discrimination complaints. And, you know, more than half of the time, the complainant, you know, feels genuinely disrespected or there was some kind of personal disagreement or just, you know, some guy didn't take his shoes off when he went in the house, right? And they had a sign that said, please take your shoes off. And, you know, the homeowners were black and the appraiser was white. And they said, you know, that must be because of race. And they filed a complaint with HUD. And, you know, we're seeing more complaints with the Department of Veteran Affairs, VA, right? So this type of thing is coming up all over the place. And so just kind of being as respectful and nice really as possible when you're there inspecting the property and meeting the homeowners and interacting with people, I think will go some way to helping to avoid these kinds of complaints. We're definitely in an environment where you want to dot your T's and dot your I's and cross your T's in terms of your appraisal report and having support for your adjustments and the selection of your comparables. And then lastly, you know, the appraisers have a lot of options in terms of who they purchase insurance with, right? That there's a lot of different providers and some insure tech companies are offering appraiser insurance. But I think, you know, now more than ever, insuring with a company that has a lot of experience in this space, that has attorneys and USPAP experts that know how to defend appraisers really well, is very much in the appraiser's interests, right? OREP, for example, works closely with Craig Capilla, who was a prosecutor for the Illinois Real Estate Commission, right? He knows exactly what, you know, it looks like on the prosecution side, in terms of how the state comes after appraisers and real estate agents. And then also he's, you know, now defended nearly 1,000 appraiser cases. So those are the type of experts and the type of legal support that we bring to our insureds, right? And I think if you're insured with, you know, just some random agency or a large insurtech that really isn't specialized in appraiser defense and issues, you're going to have a much different experience if you get a HUD complaint or you're facing a lawsuit or a demand letter, right? Because they don't have the network or the experience in terms of how to best defend you and you know, protect your business when trouble does come knocking.
Yeah, speaking of Craig Capilla, Craig, got to give you a shout out, man, and welcome to the OREP family there. I think that that was a major pickup for you guys, because you know, Craig does know his stuff. I know he networks with Mel Black and Peter Christensen, and you know, those are the guys that that work with the appraisers, know the appraiser profession, know what's going on. So to have Craig in that OREP family and doing things is, I think, is really key. It kind of sets you apart, you know, from others out there. And that was something when I saw reading today, when after I was reading the article, I saw, oh, Craig Capilla is now, you know, working with them and doing stuff, is affiliated with them. I was like, wow, this, okay, cool. This is, they're doing some good things over at OREP, you know, which I appreciate being insured by you. So I have another peace of mind now. You know, I'm the president of the AGA. We do handle things as well, but you know, having good E&O insurance, you know, and having that behind you, you know, it's definitely needed, especially nowadays. It's much needed.
Yeah. I mean, we also have ex-regulators, right? People like Bob Keith, who was the executive director of the Oregon Appraisal Board, and USPAP experts, you know, Tim Anderson. We have a network of folks that have been doing this for decades. And so we want to be able to help our insureds and offer the most experienced, you know, support that we can when you need it.
Yeah. I just wanted a quick thought here. I just want to go back to what you were saying about, you know, being nice to people, taking your time. You know, that's something that I do in all of my work, and I've done it for many years, but I especially do it even more so now. I've been doing it a lot more in the last couple of years since I took the private side by storm and do a lot more private work than lender work. But I feel that, you know, you should spend a lot of time at a house. Even when you're done measuring it, you get all your pictures and notes. Today I did one for a borrower or for a consumer for insurance purposes. And I actually sat there for about maybe 35 minutes, 40 minutes after I was done on a brand new construction. So there was not much to tell me, but we sat there and just had conversations, and we were just talking about other things. And I learned about him and his family. I learned about his dog. You know, it's those types of things that I think help put people's minds at ease a little more, that you're actually being more personable. You're not just doing this and getting in and out. And especially when it comes to lender work, I feel like you should definitely spend as much time. A lot of people will say, no, lender's my client. I don't need to talk to these people. I don't need to talk to the agents. I don't need to talk to the homeowners or whoever's there. I disagree, you know, and I'm going to continue to disagree with that. I think if somebody's at the home when you're there, you should actually spend time to get to know them, talk with them, and put their minds at ease, explain things as much as you can to them. It does help. You know, will it help in any of these cases out there? I don't know. You know, nobody knows. But that's just something I've always done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a realist, right? We could have long conversations about how to have the best work file and provide real good support for your adjustments and make sure that you're not using any of the buzzwords that the GSEs have objected to.
Which by the way, you don't have to worry about that. Just go to Dart Appraisals. They put out a whole list of everything you're not supposed to say and do. It's probably 300 items long, if not more, but Dart Appraisals already did that for you. So you're covered on that one.
There you go. And you can be the nicest person, you know, when you're out on inspection and do everything right. And you could still, you know, wind up in, you know, facing a complaint or a demand letter. And so, I mean, that's one of the reasons I talk about, you know, picking your insurance provider carefully. But also, I mean, if appraisers are having some downtime now, right? And I know many are. Now's the time to revisit your processes and maybe take some extra education to make sure that your reports are real buttoned up, because liability is increasing for appraisers in this environment.
I 1,000% agree with you on that. And I know that we're getting ready to cut it short here, because I know you got to get going in about 4 minutes here. So really quick, you know, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you doing this. We're going to do more of these. I think you and I need to get together, and I have the YouTube channel where we can do some stuff together and talk more on specific things that appraisers can do. Like you said, the work file or how to manage this or do this, maybe have a question and answer session with a bunch of appraisers out there to speak with you to learn more on your side of things, because I think that's important for people to know. I'm privileged enough to learn a lot from you and speak with you often about things. So I think appraisers, you know, would generally like that and want to hear more of that. So we'll definitely have to do more. But look, I know you got to get going here. I really appreciate you being on. Do me a favor, just let everybody know where they can find you or where they can get a hold of you if they have any questions or want to talk to you about joining the OREP family, and just go from there.
Yeah, I mean, any appraiser that's interested in E&O insurance, if your renewal is coming up, you know, OREP.org, you can get a quote right on our website in less than 5 minutes. And our premiums start at $400. So it's incredibly competitive from a price perspective. And then you're getting all of the benefits of being an OREP member, which are many, including, you know, guaranteed delivery of Working RE magazine. And you know, workingre.com, many of you are probably already subscribed if you want to stay up to date on the latest news and information in the industry. Be sure to subscribe at workingre.com, and we're always looking for good stories. So if you're out in the field and you've got something that you think should be shared with other appraisers, reach out to me. My email is isaac@orep.org, isaac@orep.org. And I really appreciate you having me on, Mark. It's always a pleasure.
Well, here's what I'm looking for. I'm really hoping that more people listen to this show than they did with you and Dustin, you know, because I want to top Dustin now. I figured if I had Isaac on, for those that don't know, I was the most viewed episode in the Appraisal Coach history up until maybe a couple months ago when Isaac took that from me. So if I'm going to lose it to somebody, it's a pleasure to lose my title to you and your knowledge and what you offer out there. But I'm hoping now that I can build this one up and then go back to Dustin and say, yeah, he's the highest one on my show and even higher than yours. But we'll see. We'll see about that, if that happens or not. But man, I appreciate it. I love it. I'm definitely going to get with you because I got some topics I want to talk to you about. You know, I do some writing on my own, but I can always use a professional like yourself to help me find my way and put some good stuff out there, or even just have you take it and run with it. So I really appreciate it. And we'll definitely be talking soon, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, everybody. My episode with Isaac Peck. Again, you can reach out to Isaac. I will put his information in the contributory value information box. And I look forward to having you all join me for another show very soon.
You have been listening to the Contributory Value Podcast. Now get out there and contribute some value.